Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen. In today's episode, we've got a real treat for you, as Aaron Crawford joins us to talk about his show this Saturday at Christmas at the Grove. We'll ask him how one of the Pacific Northwest's premier and most promising country singers would end up in Seattle, of all places.
And we'll switch musical gears to check in with the Oregon Trail Pitchpipers, who can also be heard in town this weekend at the Canby Fred Meyer. But first, the news. Canby Mayor Brian Hodson says he and the city he represents are strongly in favor of the proposed $37 million runway extension and expansion at Aurora State Airport. Mayor Hodson made the comments at a public hearing hosted by the Wilsonville City Council Tuesday night, citing the economic development opportunities that would come if the FAA approves the Oregon Department of Aviation's request to fund the runway extension.
For the city of Canby, the airport has played and must continue to play a key role in our city's economic development, as we have attracted interest from businesses within the Portland metro area and outside of Oregon. We are often asked about the airport. We are asked about the growth of the area with new homes, other new jobs, and whether or not the extension will happen, as that also plays into their company's plans. We are still considered by many a rural city, which is fine. I like it that way.
It was an unusual public hearing, given that the state-owned airport is not under the jurisdiction of the city of Wilsonville. The neighboring city of Aurora and Marion County are the only local governments the state has officially recognized in this process. But Wilsonville and Clackamas County have long asked for a seat at the table, saying the proximity of the airport means they and their constituents will be impacted by any expansion. Tony Helbling, former Canby City Councilor and currently the logistics manager for Wilson Construction, also spoke in favor of the expansion, saying it would make the area more attractive to employers interested in locating their companies here.
The cities of Wilsonville, Canby, and Woodburn are trying to attract companies that provide family wage-paying jobs. Many of the companies you hope to attract operate corporate aircraft. When those companies see the extended runway, they will bring those jobs. Talk to your county and state economic development staff. They will confirm a direct correlation between airport infrastructure and the desirability to move a company.
Helbling said the runway extension is also needed to improve safety for pilots and passengers using the airport, adding that safety has always been one of his company's chief concerns.
Safety is absolutely the most important priority in our company, whether working on high-voltage lines, stacking boxes in an office, fixing a bulldozer, or flying in bad weather. This is why the extension is so important to us. Having a runway long enough to take off while still having enough length to stop in the event of an aborted takeoff. On return, the same longer runway gives us a bigger margin to get a landing stopped in case of a contaminated runway with rain, snow, or ice. Safety is our priority.
But many of the 50 or so citizens who spoke during the meeting opposed the expansion. Aurora City Councilor and Mayor-elect Chris Salee said her city is still officially neutral on the matter of expansion for now. Nevertheless, there is overwhelming concern about the proposal among many residents.
However, I can say that during my campaign, the airport expansion was a major subject of discussion with many of our citizens. And in general, I can share with you today there is an overwhelming concern of the impacts this expansion would have on Aurora with regards to our infrastructure, our traffic, and our overall quality of life.
Expansion opponents voiced concerns about increased traffic, the impact on property values and quality of life, and whether the proposal is really necessary and in line with the airport's master plan. The testimony will be compiled and shared with lawmakers and the governor, as well as members of Congress and the FAA. The legislature is scheduled to resume its discussion of the proposal in a couple of weeks.
A Clackamas County veterinarian was arrested after allegedly threatening the employees of his veterinary practice, Companion Pet Clinic, on Southeast 81st Drive in Clackamas. Dr. Keith Bartholomew, 61, allegedly brandished a handgun at an employee in the clinic's parking lot in September, and the police say he sent threatening text messages to a former employee last month. During the search warrant that led to his arrest on October 31st, police confiscated multiple firearms in Bartholomew's possession, which was a violation of a restraining order filed against him in Multnomah County. Bartholomew was also recently accused of rehoming a pit bull puppy without the owner's knowledge. Bartholomew had allegedly told the owner that the puppy had to be euthanized due to an infection. Later, the owner saw photos of the puppy on Facebook of a woman who was working at the clinic. Police are also investigating a case in which Bartholomew allegedly tampered with drug records, as well as multiple allegations of animal abuse and animal neglect, though no formal charges have been filed at this time. Not all of Bartholomew's victims were human. His clinic was closed following his arrest, leaving some clients unable to obtain life-sustaining medications for their pets. According to Dr. Kelly Smith with Companion Pet Clinic of Northeast Portland, she says each companion clinic is individually owned and operated and do not share a universal patient record system. However, she said her facility would help any needed procedures or appointments for clients displaced by the closure of the Clackamas Clinic. Our hearts go out to everyone affected by this, Dr. Smith says. We are here to help as many pets as our doctors safely can. Bartholomew has been a practicing veterinarian in Oregon for over 2 decades, with no record of any citations or disciplinary actions to his license. However, his license is currently due to expire at the end of this year. A new traffic light is not typically a cause for celebration, even in a small town like Cambie, but this one is a really big deal. The Cambie Administrator and Planning Department are pushing for a new traffic control device at the intersection of Sequoia Parkway and Hazeldale Way, better known as the primary way in and out of the Fred Meyer Complex. At the November 6th Planning Commission meeting, Planning Director Brian Brown said he and his staff have been working with Cambie Administrator Rick Robinson for a couple of months, and Robinson was now ready to move forward with the project immediately. The plan is to use the remainder of the city's borrowing capacity in its Urban Renewal District Fund. If the Cambie Council approves the expenditure, the light could be in the works before the end of the year.
The city administrator is going to move as quickly as possible to the city council and ask for use of urban renewal funds to erect a stoplight immediately this year at that intersection. And so it does take the city council to make that final decision and to agree to utilize the last bonded indebtedness that the Urban Renewal District will allow us so that we can move very quickly to get that completed.
While there are a number of factors in play, Brown said the largest one driving are both the need for a new stoplight and the immediacy of a newly filed application for Project Shakespeare, a massive 531,000-square-foot beverage distribution facility proposed just north of Hazeldale Way.
And part of the impetus behind that is all of the development that is happening within the industrial park and the what looks like the certainty of a large industrial development, which was mentioned tonight, the bottling distribution plant that we have an application for now, that will absolutely trigger the need for that, and it must be operational before they are.
The Cambie Council's next meeting, and its final one before the new year, is scheduled for Wednesday, December 5th. Police beat for the week of November 6th through the 12th. On November 7th at 6:16 p.m., police responded to reports of a person attempting to break into the bottle drop location in the Fred Meyer parking lot. He was, I guess, trying to steal cans? Seriously? Later that night, also on Southeast 1st Avenue, a hit and run to a parked vehicle was reported to have occurred in a store parking lot. Based on a witness account, officers located the suspect at a residence in a nearby city, where she was cited for a hit and run, reckless driving, and criminal mischief. On November 8th at 9:26 p.m., police made contact with a homeless man who was lying under a blanket at the Cambie Area Transit bus station on North Ivy. The man was later taken into custody on outstanding Marion County and Salem Municipal Court warrants. On November 9th at 2:02 p.m., police responded to a report of a person posing as a law enforcement officer, contacting a victim by phone and directing them to send bail money for the release of a family member who was in jail. The victim became suspicious when the caller said his name was Officer and the family member was named That same day, at 6:08 p.m., officers made contact with the driver of a vehicle observed cruising through a dimly lit parking lot of Philander Lee Elementary School, which was closed at the time. During the stop, officers seized methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia from the vehicle and arrested the driver for driving while revoked, possession of a controlled substance, and an outstanding Clackamas County warrant. On November 10th at 9:22 p.m., officers located and stopped a vehicle occupied by two individuals who had reportedly attempted to use counterfeit money to pay their check at a local restaurant. During the stop, officers seized the suspect bills, along with methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia. Finally, on November 12th at 10:20 p.m., officers responded to a report of a man sitting in a public location on Southeast 1st Avenue, just casually preparing a syringe of illegal drugs he planned to administer to himself. No, don't mind me, I'm just gonna, you know, shoot on up. Upon contact, the suspect and his companion advised they had been traveling and planned to sleep in front of the business. Once their identities were confirmed, officers took them both into custody on outstanding arrest warrants. Hey, all you Cougar fans, welcome back to the Canby Now Sports, where we'll be getting you the latest results, stats, and coverage from basketball, wrestling, and swimming all season. The basketball season started Friday night for the boys and girls squads, and both had strong showings, although neither got the win they were looking for. The girls hit the road for their season opener against the Lincoln Cardinals. They've had a very tough squad in the past years. The Cougars kept it close, but ultimately fell 36-40. The boys stayed at home, hosting the Sprague Olympians out of Salem, another very tough draw for Canby. The Cougars, however, fought hard all night and actually ended regulation in a dead tie. The Olympians prevailed in overtime to squeak out the victory, 57-53. The brothers Resden and Chance Miller, dubbed Miller Time by their teammates, that doesn't seem appropriate, combined for a fantastic 32 points and 5 rebounds, while Diego Arredondo added 8 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists, and Ben Bailey chipped in 6, 8, and 3. The Cougars' next contest will be Wednesday as the boys head to Park Rose to face the Broncos for their season opener, while the girls stay at home to take on the visiting Sandy Pioneers, who lost their first game to West Albany 74-28. Ouch. Home game starts at 7 p.m.
Hi, Ray Keen here from the Canby Center. You are not alone. If you're having thoughts about ending your life, reach out to someone. Call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. Or call a local church such as Canby Christian Church at 503-266-4018, Canby Foursquare Church 503-266-4444, or Zora Lutheran Church 503-266-4061. You know, people around you care even when you may not see it. You are not alone. Brought to you by the Canby Suicide Prevention Task Force.
Aaron, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. How's life been for you lately? Sounds like it's been a little busy.
It is. Hectic does not begin to describe doing music, obviously, is very busy in and of itself, but we're in the middle of putting a house up for sale, trying to get a different one, and then, of course, we have our six-month-old son, Bowman, in the middle of all that. So I thought, you know, there's a lot of stressful situations that we're just compiling on top of each other.
But right.
We're doing all right with it.
Yeah, you're surviving. You just, we're traveling a bit? We're out of the country or something?
Yeah, we actually went to Mexico for my birthday. And a lot of people ask where I'm playing, and I said, nowhere. I'm just going to sit and have some margaritas in the pool.
Yeah.
We had a blast down there, just enjoyed ourselves. And we had a little swim-out suite, so we just you could swim out of your hotel room into the pool.
I've seen those places. That looks awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Well, you said it was for your birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah, happy birthday, man.
Thank you very much. It was good to get out and enjoy ourselves for a little bit.
For sure.
We took the kid too. We had a passport for him, which is the funniest thing. I don't know if you've ever seen a 6-month-old passport, but it's hilarious.
Yeah. I thought you could just get by with a birth certificate. Did they change that?
International, you've got to have one. Oh. Domestic, apparently, you can just walk on with the kid. It's fun.
No, I swear, he's my kid. I promise.
Yeah, right. I'm not stealing him.
You can ask him. Ask my 6-month-old. He'll tell you. So, Aaron, you are you're a country music artist in Seattle.
Yep.
Yeah. So, is that as weird as it seems, or is there kind of a country music scene that I haven't heard of out there? When I think country music, Seattle's not the first place that comes to mind, but.
Yeah, we get that a lot. And to be honest, in downtown Seattle, yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of hipsters. Mm-hmm. There's a lot.
We've got
a few of those
in Portland. A few hipsters.
Yeah, right. Just a one or two in Portland, I'm sure.
Yeah. Most of them are up in Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah, they're either transplants. They're working their way up to Seattle. So, I mean, in downtown, of course, you've got that. But if you go, I'd say probably 30 minutes any direction of downtown, you're almost immediately in these rural areas. Mm-hmm. And you've got a lot of people out from the country. And even, I mean, we play a place called the Little Red Hen in Seattle. And that's pretty much smack dab in Seattle. And it's full every time. You get people coming out that just, you know, they walk there from their Ballard apartments. Country.
Infiltrating downtown.
Yeah, I like that word, infiltrating.
Yeah, there you go. You can have that. That's all yours now.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you kind of, tell me a little bit about your music, because you kind of blend a little bit of that sort of more classical, not classical, but kind of that more sound that's more traditionally associated with Seattle as far as kind of the grunge scene. You blend a little bit of that into your music, don't you?
Yeah, we do. I mean, all the guys, my first record was done in Nashville, but the last two have been done up here in Seattle. We made a very intentional decision to incorporate the things that we were influenced by and the things that we listened to.
The banjo is not as strong in your music, so.
Well, actually, I love the banjo. You use the banjo right?
Right.
Dirtier guitars.
Yeah.
Not afraid to have things be a little sloppy, a little bit more in your face than maybe the straight ahead Nashville stuff. And especially a lot of stuff that's coming out of Nashville now is a little bit more hip hop and pop oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that we're not fully down that pipeline. We're throwing a little bit of Soundgarden, Nirvana, those influences. Now, you have to be careful when you say that immediately. Everyone just thinks, oh, it's Nirvana with a banjo.
Right.
That's not the case.
Right.
We just are very influenced by that and kind of the songwriting and the way that we approach kind of orchestrating, arranging, recording, and all that stuff, especially in the last two records, to just make it feel more like me than, you know, just kind of something that Nashville has created.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you, that kind of segues really well into the next thing I was going to tell you about, because don't get mad at me, don't hang up, but I got to admit, I'm not the biggest fan of country music personally.
That's all right.
But let me tell you, like, I really like your music. When I hear your songs, I've seen some of your videos, and it just comes through very much that I think with me, with country, sometimes it feels sort of a little bit like put on, a little bit of a show, you know, like this is not who they really are. And I don't get that sense from you. I have to say that, you know, like even your videos, you like get out of bed, you got like your guitar there, throwing your baseball cap, you know, you got your dog.
Right, right.
And I just get the sense that that's really who you are. Is that pretty accurate?
It is accurate. It 100%. That's my dog. And that was bed. That was my house. We literally, that is actually the house. When you look at the video, you can see there's unfinished countertops and it's a mess.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to Bobby Pascal, who's the guy that shot the video for me.
And we should just say this is your video Evergreen that we're talking about.
Yeah, Evergreen. Yeah, precisely. Yeah, so I remember telling him, like, dude, should we clean this up a little bit? I mean, like, I think that being genuine is a big part of what I try to do, because mm-hmm. people can smell it. They can smell you're fake. They know that you're, you know, just doing a money grab. And I mean, money obviously plays a part in all of it if you want to do it for a living, but
right.
that's not the reason that I'm doing it.
Cool. Well, so the reason we're having you on our show, the Canby Now podcast, is you've got a show here in Canby on December 8th. I was wondering if you've ever been out this way before. I know you kind of go all over.
I think I have. Is there a place called the Wild Hare out there?
There is a place. So there's a Wild Hare in Oregon City and one in Canby. You think you've been to the Canby one?
I think I played the Canby one, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago.
Cool. Yeah, that you'd be a good fit there for sure.
Yeah, so and we had a blast. I remember that. It was a good time.
Yeah, it's usually a good time.
It's beautiful down there, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was going to say we're kind of your kind of people, the kind of country, more definitely more out of the city, a little more rural, and just love country music, just pretty real kind of people. So, yeah, you'd be a good fit here.
Great.
Yeah, for sure. And you kind of have a reputation with your shows of having a really good live show, a really fun show. Can you talk a little bit about what you and your band put into as far as that goes?
Yeah, I think it kind of goes back to that whole the influences and kind of what goes into that cascade country sound, like we call it. A lot of us played in rock bands growing up, and if you've ever been to a rock show, you know that the guys can't just stand there. You got to be like jumping all over the place. Like one of my guys was actually in a somewhat famous like punk emo grunge band before, and he would climb up scaffolding and hang, playing his guitar. So there's the showmanship involved in what we do. None of it is scripted. We're not doing that intentionally. But if we see an opportunity, for me, I'm constantly scanning the crowd, trying to find out if people are having a good time. And I used to be a server and a bartender, so I used to have to observe people constantly and see if they're okay, if they're having a good evening or whatever. So for me, I'm looking at the crowd, and until I am happy seeing that people are enjoying themselves, I'm still trying to find, it's almost, I don't know, it's kind of nerdy, but it's almost like an echolocation, like bats and dolphins. I'm sending stuff out, sending a performance out, and if it doesn't come back right, I'll keep sending it out until, okay, this crowd loves this of what we're doing. Let's keep doing that.
Yeah. That's cool. You should have a dolphin in the show. I think that would just.
Do you guys have one I can borrow? They're really hard to transport.
I bet I could get my hands on one.
I believe in that.
Yeah, you just gotta believe. That's cool. So it's a lot of give and take with the audience. Kind of some ad lib, just kind of taking what the audience is giving you.
Absolutely, and at the same time, it's not a spectator sport. I really want to get the audience involved because, as I said, I was a server bartender, but I also used to lead worship at churches. And of course, that's the word is congregational. It's very, everyone's participating, doing their thing. So for me, that's a huge part of the show is, sometimes it's hard being on stage, right? Because you have to be like, look at me, I'm so good.
Right.
And that's really not the approach that I want to take. The approach is, hey, I'm here. Let's have a good time together.
Yeah.
At the end of the night, let's shake hands, and I'll see you next time I come around. That's really what I want to try and get out there.
Yeah. Weirdly, it kind of reminds me of – so I have a little bit of a personal history with where you're going to be playing on the 8th at Canby Grove. I actually met my wife there. I worked as a counselor there. We ended up actually getting married there. Yeah. But it weirdly kind of reminds me of camp counseling when we would do skits out at the camp. It's very much like that.
Yep.
Like the script would be literally like a sentence, like, okay, you're going to be Darth Vader. You're going to be, you're going to be a Star Trooper or whatever. And just do whatever we can to try to make the kids laugh or get engaged or whatever we're trying to do. So it weirdly kind of reminds me, and maybe it's just because of the two locations are the same, but that's what it reminds me of. So
it's the same thing, man. It's just trying to get people entertained and having a good time is really what we're trying to do.
Cool. So sounds like you've probably been to the Wild Hare out here. Not this location specifically. It's called the Big Red Barn out of Canby Grove. This event does tend to draw quite a crowd. So you'll have a bigger crowd, but still not the Moda Center for sure. Is there anything that you sort of enjoy about these kind of smaller gigs like Canby, kind of the feel, or is there sort of a different feel or is there something that's more fun about those kind of shows?
Yeah. I mean, once you start stepping up into those larger venues, and I wouldn't say that to the point where like the Moda Center or anything like that. Those on the way to those venues, they're very buttoned down. Everything's very serious. Everything's on the timeline. Everything.
Oh, yeah, there's like 20 million page contracts and, like, security.
Yeah, and it gets to be, I mean, like, we played for, I won't name the casino because I love this casino. I don't want them to get a bad name.
Right. But we played there's only so many casinos in the state, man.
We played it, and we were opening for Dwight Yoakam. And, on the way back in, we went, sound checked.
went to dinner, came back in. On the way back in, I literally had to go see the metal detector. Like, do you realize I'm going to be on, and I want to be that. I didn't want to be that guy because I'm not that guy. So I was like, okay, just take the wand and do whatever you will.
Yeah,
it's a big belt buckle. Cool. So you don't have those things in the smaller shows. Everyone's usually a little bit less on edge. Everyone's there enjoying themselves, and you just really get to meet genuine people who aren't really kind of got some pressure on them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they just they were a little weirded out by you bringing the guitar in. They're like, "Why do you need this? Oh, wait, you're playing here. Oh, okay, that makes sense."
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of airport travel with guitars, has gotten so annoying.
Oh, I bet. Like,
oh, we need to see the 9-volt battery. What are all these wires? I'm like, I cannot be the first guitar player to ever come to the airport.
Pretty sure you're not. Okay, so we're almost out of time. Any sort of final thoughts you might want to leave us with, Aaron?
No, man, I'm just excited to get down there, see you guys come hang out and bring the band down and enjoy the scenery down there. If I remember, there's a big river next to Canby, is that right?
We got a couple. So the Willamette's a big one. Canby Grove's right on the Malala, which is a little bit smaller, but still fun. I've tubed on that river, so Canby Grove's a beautiful place, for sure. Yeah, you're going to like it.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah, hopefully the weather's nice for you. All right, folks, that is Aaron Crawford. His new album is Hotel Bible. You can find it on iTunes, where it hit as high as 24 on those charts. His new single, Heart Like Hers, is on the radio now. He's a rising star on the nationwide country music scene, and you can hear him live right here in Canby, December 8th at Christmas at the Grove. Aaron, we'll see you there, man. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Christmas at the Grove will be this Saturday from 5 to 10 p.m. at Canby Grove on Knightsbridge Road. It's a fun-filled festival of lights, music, and activities for the whole family. Stop by for food, shopping, crafts, toasted marshmallows, the scavenger hunt, and of course, live music all night. Parking is $10, but admission is free. For more information, visit www.christmasatthegrove.com.
I'm a fan of Adam Driver. I'm just gonna get that out of the way. I'm biased, I'm swayed, and I'm easily goaded into seeing movies with his face on the cover. That's it. That's my confession. So when I saw the trailers for the posters of Logan Lucky, I knew I was gonna like it. I knew that I was gonna sit down and wait for the moment when Driver delivered an emotionally tempered, minimalist, and deadpan performance, and I knew I was gonna smile. I went in with the expectation in mind, and usually that's a bad thing. Movies generally disappoint me in the way of my own expectations, which usually leads to the rise in anger and frustrations. Luckily for me, that was not the case with Logan Lucky. Channing Tatum leads this flick about a down-to-earth laborer with a bum leg. He's let go from his job where he works beneath the Charlotte Motor Speedway. With a checkered past and some skills in criminal activity, he convinces his one-handed brother, Adam Driver, to help him with his plan. The first step of the plan is to recruit the character of Joe Bang, played by Daniel Craig, and we're introduced to the prison system that will become a character of its own by the time the credits roll. The rest of the flick is ups and downs that come with the plan unfolding. The plan being that they will break into the massive vault filled with cash that sits underneath the motor speedway, which of course requires that they break in and out of jail. In an Ocean's 11 type heist movie, we are given all the same twists and turns, ups and downs, and sweet reveals. The only difference is this movie tells you that it's going to happen before it does. Then it reminds you that it's happening as it does so. Almost like that guy that pokes you in the side with his elbow to make sure you see that he was right about that one thing that one time. Only, I don't want to punch Logan Lucky in the face, because the movie actually does it well. With characters like Joe Bang, his cousins, and the Logan brothers, Tatum and Driver, as well as side characters portrayed by Katie Holmes, Sebastian Shaw, and even Seth MacFarlane, there is enough happening to keep you interested in every story and side story being told. The audience is given the task of simply enjoying the story being told, not trying to figure out a big twist, not stressing over the message of the plot. This is just a good movie that tells the story and lets the suspension of disbelief be a fun endeavor. I highly recommend sitting down with a bowl of popcorn and something to drink and letting yourself enjoy the hour and a half that you'll get from Logan Lucky.
Yeah, so I'm Daniel Stelb. I am the president of the Oregon Trail Pitchpipers based here in Canby.
Cool. And who are the Oregon Trail Pitchpipers?
So the Oregon Trail Pitchpipers is Canby's local barbershop chorus. We sing stuff in the unique barbershop style. We're a men's only chorus, but love singing those barbershop melodies. I'm sure you guys have probably heard of Sweet Adeline. We do more than just that song, but we have a blast doing what we're doing, and so happy to talk with you today.
Cool. Thanks so much. How many members do you have?
So on average, we have about 15 people that are part of our chorus, and we're always, always, always looking for more singers to come and sing.
You don't want me to sing.
Oh, we take anybody.
You haven't heard me sing. Don't say that. Cool. So you got a few things coming up you want to let people know about?
Yeah. So we have a couple of interesting holiday events that are happening. Mm-hmm. So the first two Saturdays in December, we go out to Fred Meyer stores in the Portland area and sing and do some Christmas caroling and also advertise our upcoming show that's happening in February.
Awesome. It's good to let people know about that because if you don't expect to be sung to, sometimes you may be afraid that you're being attacked by a crazy person. So
yeah,
it's good to know
yeah.
that this is planned and approved and everything.
This is planned and approved, yeah. We've done this over the last probably about people 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
And the store managers over at Freddy's gotten to know us by name. And
for sure.
We just love doing that. And
yeah.
We sing at 3 different locations in each of these stores.
Yeah. And I got to say, I'm not a singer, but I love the caroling. You know, that's like, to me, is Christmas. Like, if you're just hearing music on the radio, it's not quite good enough. So
yeah. Right, yeah.
I love that.
So specifically, some of the upcoming ones that we have going on are December 1st, so that's a Saturday. At 1 p.m., we're going to be at the Oak Grove Fred Meyer store. That's up in Milwaukee.
Okay.
2 p.m. up at the Clackamas Fred Meyer store in Clackamas. And then at 3 p.m. at Oregon City. And then the following weekend on Saturday the 8th, we're going to be singing at 1 p.m. at the Tualatin store, 2 p.m. at Wilsonville, and 3 p.m. at Canby.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
And we're also going to be doing the tree lighting ceremony for the Canby tree lighting.
At Waite Park?
Yes,
yeah.
And that will be on the 7th of December.
Great. What time?
Probably around 6:30-ish.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. We'll be introducing Santa.
Yeah.
And this
fun.
Is something that we've done over the last couple of years.
For sure. And you said there's something in February, too?
Yeah. So February 16th at 3 p.m. is our big annual show. And so we're going to be doing a program. I can't reveal all the details yet. I'll leave that as a little bit of a
A little teaser. Okay, cool.
But, yeah, we'll have some really neat talent coming this year. We're going to have a mixed quartet called Mugshot on the show, as well as Willpower, which is another quartet.
And okay, great.
We're just finalizing some details here, and we're hoping to have Salem's Sweet Adeline's chorus. So that's the ladies' version of Barbershop going and singing on our program.
Cool. So like you guys on Facebook to get details about that would be the best way? Or?
Yeah. So a couple of different locations you can go to find us. First off, feel free to check out Facebook. We have all of our events posted there, as well as we have a website you can go to, and that's pitchpipers.org.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Hear the Pitch Pipers at 3 p.m. this Saturday at the Canby Fred Meyer. For more information about the local chapter, visit www.pitchpipers.org.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guest today, Aaron Crawford. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss out on our latest episodes.
Hey, have you ever wanted to waltz into a bunch of houses owned by somebody else? Of course you have. Well, this weekend you can, as the Friends of the Library present their annual fundraiser, Canby's Tour of Homes. Don't miss Thursday's episode as Joyce Ayers comes on to tell us all about it.
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions of how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Canby Now, or on our website, canbynowpod.com.
Thanks for listening.